Welcome back to Unarmored Talk Podcast. Thank you so much for listening and watching each episode. And continue, please, to share with your friends and family members and colleagues. And don't forget to leave a rating or review if you feel this is a awesome show. And you can connect to all of my social media on the Parade Deck. Just look in the show notes, or you can put in the search engine Mario P. Fields Parade Deck and get all access to my social media. Well, let's get ready to interview another guest who is willing to remove their armor to help other people. Welcome back to Unarmored Talk, everybody. I'm your host, Mario P. Fields. For the first time listeners and viewers, welcome to an amazing show. And for those of you who have been with me going on 4 years now, thank you so much for your continued support. And thank you for always sharing, liking, and watching the videos on the YouTube channel, and also downloading the audio on any audio podcast platform of your choice, because they all generate charitable dollars. You guys know the deal. If you don't know, go to www.stillservinginc.com. That's where your money is going, helping students in low-income communities. And the community I'm referring to is Pitt County, North Carolina. Well, today we have another amazing guest who's willing to remove his armor to help people, man, develop a better understanding that we're all emotional, but to think is a choice. Daniel Flynn, everyone. I want to highlight some things about Daniel before I turn the virtual mic over to him. In 2022, just so you guys know, he was the West Side High School Teacher of the Year. It gets even better. And the 2022 Gilder Lehrman U.S. History Teacher of the Year for the state of Florida. I don't have that special button, so here we go. And more. What's up, Daniel? How you doing, man?
I'm doing fantastic, Mario. How you doing? I can't thank you enough for having me on the show. I really can't.
No, I'm blushing right now because you have a special place in my heart. Being in that education space, just really helping develop our future professionals around the world. And with that said, Daniel, can you give the listeners and viewers just a little bit about yourself, my friend?
Currently 45 years old, and even though my students say I look like I'm 30, you know, education keeps you young, which is a lot of fun. I was born and raised in upstate New York, got my associate's degree from Hudson Valley Community College, and then I got my bachelor's degree from Union College, one of the first universities established after the United States Constitution was ratified. And so after 1791, Union was founded in 1795. People like William Seward and others that graduated from there. I've been teaching now in Jacksonville, Florida since 2008. I've been teaching overall since 2003. The majority of that has been in either a Title I schools, inner city. Title I references to 85% of the students, or 70 to 85% of the student population is on free or reduced lunch. So low socioeconomic neighborhoods. Most of my career has been spent here in Jacksonville, Florida, on the west side of the city. So teaching nothing but U.S. history. So to wow. The 11th grade, as I joke with everyone, I am in the 11th grade forever. I will never matriculate to 12th grade.
you look good, man. And let's jump right into the topic. From my basic understanding and getting to know you, it seems like over the past year, Daniel, you really care. You it's not lip service. You care about your students. Have you ever had a moment where a student said, "Mr. Flynn, why do you care so much?"
You know, I have that quite often. You know, I train teachers currently right now. I'm what is called clinically educator trained. So a lot of the teachers that, you know, I'll train and stuff like that. And you never know what you're going to get. You know, it's like the old Forrest, you know, Gump reference, the life is like a box of chocolates. Well, students are the same way. You know, you don't know how that child is going to approach you. And I've had students come in, you know, just hopping mad about whatever. And like just today, I had a student that she's absolutely fantastic, been great the whole year. But today, She said, "Miss Flint, don't talk to me. I just want to sit down and have a refer." I was like, whoa. And of course she was cursing and other stuff, you know? And I was like, okay, all right. So I was like, "Whoa, girl, just what's up?" And I was like, "I don't want to be bothered. Don't want to talk to me." I was like, "All right, okay. Just take my assignment. Just go sit down and relax. Just sit in the corner." It's like, "I don't want to sit." I was like, "Girl, sit wherever you want. I don't care. Right. You know, just sit wherever it makes you comfortable. And she, and so she just sat there. She just, you know, and I didn't bother, you know, and I know you got to have empathy with this job. You have to. You can't be a robot. You can't sit there and all the, you know, and I've seen, oh, that girl cursed at you. You should write her up. Really? The minute I write that kid up, the minute I get verbally aggressive with that, I've lost him. I might as well not have, right, have them in the class. They shut down, they break down, and they're not going to do anything. At least this way, yeah, she cursed me out. You know, whatever. I don't have time to sit there and listen to what other people are saying. I know my kids. I know my students. I talk to them every day. I talk to them, not at them. And so, yeah, this girl who's been fabulous all year long had a bad day, had a bad morning, whatever happened. And 9 times out of 10, towards the end of class, you know, we teach on a 90-minute block. So like the last 30 to 40 minutes of class is what I call the work period, the you do part of our class. So she gets up and she's like, can I talk to you outside? I was like, yeah, sure. What's up? It's like, I'm sorry. I'm like, for what? I like, for what? And I was like, oh, I didn't mean it. It's like, before, I was like, before, let me stop you right there. Before you say anything, you have nothing to apologize for. You're fine. Everybody has bad days. But she's like, Ms. Flint, you never have a bad day. And I was just like, and I tell my students that all the time. It's like, you will never know that I'm having a bad day because I won't let you know. And the thing is, you guys are my therapy. You know, I tell them, I come in here to relax. I come in here to get stress relief. And they all think I'm crazy for saying that, you know, but it's true. I love talking to my students. I really do. It's therapeutic. I've got like 35 different, you know, therapists in my room because they're going to tell you how they feel. They have no filter.
The beauty of your approach, and I love it, is how you're going in going, I allowing you all to develop and not reacting to them per se, but responding. And going, I care so much about you all. You're actually therapeutic. Where people around, a lot of people are going, oh, these kids today, you know, oh, these kids today. But here's Daniel. I bet you did. Here's Daniel going, y'all good, you know. And so, and I love how you don't try to, you know, talk to try to connect and get an understanding. But it's your behavior, your choices, which makes them feel more supported. Have you found that effective? And do you teach other teachers to go, hey, stop reacting. Let me show you some behavioral skills that can make the situation a little bit better.
So a lot of times our discipline series, we goes from class one, class two, class three, class four. Class one is like you curse somebody out. Oh, wow. Class two is like you walked out of the room. Class three is you're sitting there duking it out, fighting. Class four is a weapons violation. So, I mean, I haven't written a class one through four in the last 6 years on a student. And I don't believe in discipline referrals because they don't. It's not that they don't accomplish much. It's just you just lost that kid. Now you have to sit here and you've written this kid up. It's so much easier to talk to them and find out what's going on versus, hey, I'm just going to write you up and then kick you out of my class. Because now what you just told that child, they don't matter.
Right.
You don't care. Now, the trick is to make them think you don't care while you really do care. Now, I know it sounds really awful. And, you know, and I tell this to my students all. Well, so my kids ask me, my students ask me all the time, you know, and we never refer to the students we have as they're your students. They're our students. So regardless, right, if you got my class or not, if you're at Westside High School, you're one of my students. So I'm going to take the time, you know, and I hear in the hallway, you know, you ain't my teacher. Why you have something? It's like, whoa, just slow your roll for a second. What's going on? Talk to me. You know, and like, why are you just sitting here running, cursing and yelling down? Man, I'm just pissed off. I'm like, okay, well, that's great. You have, that's okay. Can you tell me why? Mm-hmm. And it's like, no one's asked me that. It's like, you trying to trick me? It's like, no, I'm not.
Daniel, I care.
You know, oh yeah. It's like, I care. I'm trying to figure out, you know, what's going on with these kids. And it's hard, you know, and you just want to talk to them and figure out what's going on with their day. And
have you, go ahead. Man, I'm sorry. No, because I'm so motivated. It's tying into you just taking the time to talk, like you said, talk with them, not to them or not at them, if you will. Have you ever had a student that was just not getting it right all over the place, maybe a Mario P. Fields. And then all of a sudden the student comes back and they're just doing some amazing things in industry.
Yeah, I've had a few students over the years that have done that. Right now, I've got, you can look this student up on Facebook. He calls himself the hair physician. You know, when I knew Kenyatta Flowers, better wise known as Dread Million, better wise known as he had his own clothing line in high school. He had his own music group in high school. I mean, parents, I believe one of the parents was in jail. I think it was dad. Mom was just not in the picture. Grandma, I think, was. But this kid came to school motivated every day. You know, he was going to be somebody. And I send him messages back and forth every now and then. I was like, hey, I love what you're doing. He's got a shop in Atlanta. And this kid, I had to earn his respect. Mm-hmm. It's hard, you know, being a white educator in a predominantly black school. It's just, right. You know, and I don't ever use race to sit here and articulate a point to my students. You know, it's just, I want them to understand that, you know, someone does care and they want you to learn. And imagine someone telling you that you can go somewhere, you can do something. And that's it. That's impactful. That's meaningful. And he is just doing phenomenal. That's like my paycheck right there. You know, if someone tells you you're going into education for money, then you got sold a barrel of lies somewhere, because there ain't no money in his job. But the reward is the students that succeed, whether they go into the military, whether they become entrepreneur, regardless of whatever they do, and they come back and see you, that's a good feeling. And to go back to your other question, do I train other teachers? I do, but it's one of those things that, you know, you can't bottle what I do. And you right. could come in and observe it all day long. But my one question is what I always ask teachers that I classroom, because I'm as a CET teacher, I'm clinically trained to observe and I can make observations and help them train them. And my first question is, do you talk to your kids? Mm. Do you talk to them? Do you get to know them? And it's like, well, I don't want to get to know them. Like, you know, I'm here to teach them content. And I was like, okay, that's great. But with that mindset, you're never going to get anywhere. And I tell this to new teachers all the time, that the days of these kids respecting you day one is gone. You've got to show them why you matter. You know, I go back, you know, power perceived is power achieved. Show them that you have the authority to be there. And kids want structure. They want discipline. They do. They absolutely crave it. So I have like the wall of me in my classroom. It's all about who I am, degrees, you know, and awards and all that kind of stuff. So they can go up and see it. In the middle of my classroom, I have a table that has items from all aspects of my life. And as I'm teaching class, if you want to know something about stop class, I'll be more than happy to answer the question, you know, and have that conversation. What I never do, I never refer back, hey, when I was 12 or 14, I did this, that. They don't want to hear that because it has no relevance to them, because that was the 90s. Right. Probably the biggest thing I tell new teachers, kids don't learn from people they don't like. They don't. And I have a lot of teachers that, you know, when I'm not writing any referrals on discipline referrals on students, it's like, I found out this kid's just a royal pain in somebody else's class. So I go to teach, like, and like, oh, how is he not a problem for you? He's just like all over the place. Did you talk to him? Like, no, I just write him up and kick him out. And I was like, well, that might be your problem. You know, and it goes to the best and the worst part is that when I call home to mom or dad, 9 times out of 10, it's I got to go to grandma, you know, because either mom's not there, dad's not there. Wow. You know, a lot of these kids don't have that male father figure in the house. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, you want to find out the dynamic. Here's a big misconception that people have. It's like, oh, I can never teach these kids. They're so awful. This, that, the other. A lot of these kids are the adults when they go home. They're the Wow. ones taking care of the kids. They're the ones taking care, you know, maybe both parents are working. You know, maybe I've seen mom working 2 jobs and then the son or daughter comes home and they're taking care of 3 or 4 siblings. They're going to picking them up from school. They're doing this. And they're the adult. They literally are the adult. And then the confusion comes when they come to school, you know, then they're treated like a child. You know,
that is, I go. That can be an interesting point, because, you know, like you said, if you don't gain a better understanding of what the heck's going on in their home and their family structure, you might not even realize that when they go home, they are the adult. And now they come to you and you're treating them like a kid. And which brings me to this point, because I know that can be, you know, whatever emotions you may experience, disheartening, maybe frustrating, but have you ever experienced an event where just really, I'll use the metaphor, really just sunk your heart, where you're just like, oh my goodness. Have you ever had that while teaching?
you know, you do this job long enough, you're going to lose students. It's a fact of life. And I've sadly say I'm at 15 right now over the last 20 years. I've lost 15 students either to drugs, shootings. You know, this past year, I had a student that I had last year, you know, he was a gangbanger. He was 100% that he was going to live and die by the sword in that way, you know, come to find out he was gunned down in the street, laying face down, you know, and it's just like, no one cared about this kid. And it's just like, you know, they sent grief counselors to the school, this, that, but no one knew him, but everybody wanted to pretend like they knew him. He was the greatest kid on the earth, you know, and I this was a kid that I physically had in my classroom that I spoke to, and that's hard, you know. And a couple years before that, you know, I'd never seen like gang violence like displayed out in front of me. I mean, he was shot in another county, you know, it was, you know, you still hear, and you hear about it secondhand piecemeal when it happens. There was a couple years ago, one of our more popular students, he was getting on the bus. This happened literally right down the street from our school, shot five times getting on the bus. And, you know, I was supposed to have him in class that day. And it's just like, he died, you know, he died twice on the operating table, and he was in surgery for like 9 hours. And it was just, it takes the life out of you when things like this happen. And as an educator, like, you know, there's nothing you can do. It happens. And, it's hard, you know, and he came back to school. He's at, Valdosta State is where he's at now. He was a troublemaker kid. He was, absolutely. But you know, the bus driver, thank God for the bus driver, she pulled him onto the bus and drove him to the hospital. You know, that literally saved his life. And you know, he came back and we talked, and it was just but it rips you out, you know. It's like you feel like you did something wrong. What can you, and there's nothing you can do. There's nothing, you know. And I try to every day make my classroom a place where my students can come in and relax. You know, there's nothing, you know, it's not the end of the world if you don't get the work done in class. It's not the end of the world. As long as my class can be like a respite for your day to learn about U.S. history, you know, people think that it's all about, it's not. It's about the human factor of education. It really is. You know, kids aren't a number. They're not a dollar sign. They're not this. They're not that. You know, we stress test scores because that's the nature of the beast. But there's a child in that seat. There's a human being there that you have to impact on a daily basis. You asked about the beginning of the school year. You know, one of the things that I do that's different is that, can you remember any of your first days of school? I mean, like, legit remember?
Well, I went to school in 1850, so
that might have. One of the things I do is I'll have to ask Cortez Brown. I'll have to ask Sergeant Major Brown about that one. You know. One of the things that I do, and I've been doing this for about 10 years now, is I go to school and I have a black suit with white shirt, black tie, and black shades. You know, it's the whole Men in Black thing. And I don't say anything. I let the kids come in, like, who's this crazy white man with the shades? And I spend the whole day in character, you know. And so when the door shuts, you know, and I'll we have A-Day, B-Day scheduled for the first A-Day and B-Day, which is Monday and Tuesday. I'll do that. Then the next day I come, it's just like this, like the armor is off. You know, that's my armor for day one and day two. So when the door shuts, it's like I'm silent, and I don't have a seating chart. So it's always culturally dynamic where kids sit. So you really can get a good understanding of, you know, it really is. And so I sit there, who's going to talk first? You know, who's going to make the first move? And I always wait for the kids to do. I always wait for them to say the first thing. And the longest I had was a couple of years ago, 30 minutes. No one said a thing. And I'm not talking. I'm not saying a word because I have things on the board to let them know. And it's like, Mr. White Man, are you going to say something? And I'm just like, well, my name is Mr. Flint. Thank you for speaking. I was waiting for one of you guys. Right? There. I was waiting for one of you guys to open up.
Mr. Short Man.
And it's just like, why are you in a suit? I'm like, why are you wearing what you wear? Oh, because I like it. Well, I like this, you know? And it's funny. They remember the suit and tie and the shades, and they don't. If they don't remember anything else, that's fine, you know, but they will always remember the first day stepping into my world. And that's how you get up. And then you start to believe me, when that armor comes off on that Wednesday, then the conversations become, and then they're racing to the door, not racing away from your door.
And that's beautiful, Daniel, how you, I love your approach on how you set the conditions for an experience, not about, well, let's do some paperwork to do whatever, or, you know, let me see what kind of words or references I can use to make your,
yeah, they talk about icebreakers, getting to relate to your icebreaker. Pet. No, not going to work.
I love your approach, and I love your passion for caring and giving the students an opportunity, because I don't want to take too much more of your time while you're making wonderful things happen. And we're going to make sure you're the Galaxy Teacher of the Year in 2025, my friend. I'm already voting. If you can leave the listeners and viewers, I mean, you gave some wonderful tips, not just for teachers and educators, but I believe for parents, too, to gain a better understanding. The kids don't get a vote. You know, right? They don't choose their parents. And if you can listen to some of the soft skills, the skills that Daniel's been talking about, they're invaluable. But if you can leave one tip with the listeners and viewers, what would you leave them with?
You know, I remember when my first boss had hired me, Kenneth Reddick, he always tells me that you teach the child you get, not the child you want. And that sticks with me every day. You know, you have to be there for that child, and that kid might irritate you all day long, but you know what? Talk to them. You never know. They're having a bad day. Well, you know what? If you can give them that one space where they can just relax and be themselves. Mm-hmm. And then, hey, guess what? You know, they get to learn some amazing content along with it. Cause I love U.S. history. Yeah, I absolutely do. I think it's one of the best content out there. But if you got to talk to these kids. You have to get them interested in what you're doing. And for parents, be involved. My God, be involved. If your kid's on social media, find out what they're putting out there. I can't tell you how many times that I've seen kids and I'll walk around their posts. It's like, you really going to post that out there? Do you really? I was like, universities are going to see that. Other people are going to see that. And that's what you want to put out there. It's like, Mr. Flip, my mom is like, well, your mom, that might be the problem there, that your parents don't know what you're putting out there. And this is a big deal. And just talk to them. You know, whether you're a parent, educator, if you are in the business of education, talk to these kids, because I tell my students all the time, be worried when I don't know what's going on in this building. I tell them that all the time, you know, and that's probably the biggest piece of advice I can give any new instructor, any parent, you know, and they're all, and you know, I talk to parents all the time, and I'll leave you with this thought. You know, parents 9 times out of 10 will tell me that they are your problem from 7 to 2. That don't call me unless it's like a dire emergency. And that kind of sucks the wind out of you. But then it's just like, okay, now it's on you to sit there and really build that, you know, that space for that child, you know? So.
Wow. Well, you and I've talked before this show. You are one of my heroes, my friend. And I just really, really, an honor to be able to have met you and to see the wonderful things you're doing. And everyone, just so you guys know, my prayers with the families and those impacted, and even you, Daniel, with the 15 students that have been lost in your 19 years of wonderful service. But also for everyone to just understand, 19 years of impacting hundreds and thousands of professionals that's around the world. So I applaud you for that, my friend. So thank you so much, man. Please continue to do wonderful things. Let's go for Teacher of the Galaxy in 2025. You got my vote. I love you, brother. I love you, man.
I appreciate it, man. All right. Thank you, Mario.
Take care. We'll talk soon. All right, everyone, you guys know the deal. In a couple of weeks, if you're listening, you'll hear me again. And if you're watching on YouTube, you will see this face. But as I sign off, God bless you. May God continue to bless your family members. And may God continue to bless your family.
Thank you for listening to this most recent episode. And remember, you can listen and watch all of the previous episodes on my YouTube channel. The best way to connect to me and all of my social media is follow me on the Parade Deck. That is www.paradedeck.com. Or you can click on the link in the show notes. I'll see you guys soon.